Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Phillips, can she get some space? She can! And she goes! Travis Pope, how much he would love this. Very close to the man on the mark. He's under it, but he's got it! Have a look at this! Listen to the crowd. Look at the supporters.
Welcome to the Clicking Balls Round 1 wrap-up for the AFL season. My name is Heath, and with me is Brenton.
G'day.
And every week, the first question I ask is your highlight of the week. So what is your highlight of the week, Brenton?
Well, not much to do with AFL at the moment, but the highlight was just sport generally being back on a weekend. So we had Formula 1 starting again. We had the cricket finally wrapping up with the final test against India.
Great series.
Oh, it was excellent, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And also, of course, football being back, which is always a pleasure. But my highlight was actually a bit of basketball. There's this brewery called Bodrigi Brewery in Abbotsford, just on Johnson Street there, underneath the train tracks. Anyway, they bought a new warehouse space to start a new brewery and sort of hospitality area. And so just to do a bit of promotion and for a bit of fun, put the word out there, they've organized a 3-on-3 street ball competition between local pubs and cafes and things like that, sort of invited some people along. Mixed basketball, so you had to have one girl on each team. And so, yeah, we went down there for the final on a Tuesday. And, it was really good fun. They've got a nice space there. It's serve yourself, $4 beers. And all proceeds go to helping kids' cancer. And
so, charity event. But it seems to be the, is it microbrew or, the special brew around Melbourne. There's a real tight-knit community, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, especially sort of the inner east side, inner north side, sorry. They're just popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
But this place is going to be pretty massive. It's got a big space. But, it was a pretty big crowd down there. I posted a photo on Twitter on our account. And
It's a good setup.
It's a shame
it's not staying on.
Exactly, yeah. The area where the basketball court is, they're going to have like a bar. Apparently around the whole length of the wall there. It's going to be sort of like a stomping ground in Collingwood or Abbotsford. But they said they're doing a three-point comp for Good Beer Week.
Yep.
So, it should be interesting to see what they do. We're trying to get them to keep the ring there so we can, or put tables on wheels or something. So after hours, come down there.
Just wheel it back out.
It's a good way to settle fights too. Just you have a shootout.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll shoot threes for it.
We're not used to that sort of shootout in Collingwood as well. So
it's something different for them.
Yeah, and they released a new beer as well, which is delicious. It was called Pineapple Cream Ale. So if you can get your hands on some of that, it's absolutely delicious. Not heaps of pineapple, but nice and fruity. Kind of like a fruity Kaiju Crush.
It sounds more like a milkshake.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the microbreweries these days are going towards some pretty out there different styles of beer. Which
I guess you've got to get noticed when there's so many others out there.
Yeah, exactly, and trying to set yourself apart. So, I think I might do a beer of the week this season, something different.
And that's your first beer of the week?
First beer of the week, yep. So,
well, I forget.
If anyone's a sponsor, send us some beers and we'll put them across there.
I guarantee you'll be beer of the week.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's shit, but I just won't mention it then.
No, then you'll still be beer of the week for 1 week and then just slay you off the following.
We'll just send the rest out to listeners.
My highlight of the week was footy related, no surprise.
Yep.
It was actually before the Hawthorn-Essendon game.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think, obviously, the comeback story and they had the march to the G and I didn't go in that, obviously.
Yeah.
But I thought at the game, they actually did it really well because they didn't overdo it. And there it was either Riewoldt's 300th last year or Brett Harvey's record breaker where they piped in sound before the game.
Yeah, that was
and
Brett Harvey's.
Just ruined it. It was 4:27, was it?
Yeah.
This one, they didn't do too much.
Yeah.
Before the team came out, before Essendon came out, they had a quick 30-second video play on the big screen of Sheedy.
Oh, okay.
And that's all they needed.
Yep.
And Sheedy, this is the big one. It's Hawthorn Essendon. Get your scarves out. And that's all he had to say.
Yep. And just remember, guys, we're still okay.
So they had, every Essendon supporter was up waving their scarves about like they did back in the day for Sheeds.
Yeah, it's a massive crowd there too.
It's 80, No, was it 73? Something
yeah,
like
I actually have it written down here. We had a grand total of 78,294
people. There you go. I thought there'd be more, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it looked like there was like not a spare seat in the house, but...
it was a good crowd.
I don't know if it's a corporate box. And also, probably the low light of the week was going to the Tigers match.
Yes. Yep. Yes, I know what you're going to say. Say it.
Yep. And Scott's Transport.
Scott's Transport. Still an empty
still
box.
Still empty. What is going on, guys?
So, I said to you, we took a photo. And just to prove that we're not talking shit.
Yep.
I think my goal for this year is to get an AVO. Not an AVO. What do I want? A restraining order.
We won't get violent with them, but we just want to at least get a reaction.
I'm going to hassle. Yeah, try and get something out of them.
Yeah, I'm sure it wouldn't take too much. Like, the furniture in there looks like it's from the 80s, too.
Yeah, I don't think it's been touched.
No. I wonder if they forgot to cancel the bill or something.
I don't know. It might be one of those ones, in which case, I don't know if we're better off going the route of trying to contact Scots or just go the route of trying to impersonate them.
Well, I've got a better idea. What if we just sort of snuck our own sign in, put it over Scots Transport logo, you walk in the back, and when they try and say we're not there, wait a second, hey. Look at the sign on the front.
Yeah, I'll show you my license.
And especially if we rock up with our recording equipment as well. It's got to, you know, surely we can get some young kid, just convince him to put us in there.
I'm guaranteed that our recording equipment will get through the metal detectors on the front. They were hopeless.
They were terrible.
You know, the absolute theatre of security.
Yeah, and I mean, I just thought it was a token effort. But,
exactly. I don't blame the security guards one little bit.
You can see them, they don't give a fuck anyway.
Not at all. All right, so let's actually go to the games. So we'll cover the games fairly quickly so we can get into more featuring the next games coming up. So first off, the Tigers put on 20 goals against Carlton on Thursday night. I do like the Thursday night tradition to open the season.
Yeah, definitely.
But I'm not a big fan of Thursday nights in general, but yeah. It looks like I'm losing that battle.
Well, I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of Thursday nights in general, but I think as a season opener, it's a great way to go. Yep. But here was what I was thinking, was that if you're going to have the Tigers on the Thursday night, I don't see why you couldn't have had the AFL Women's Grand Final on the Friday night followed up.
Putting it on the Sunday was silly.
Yeah, especially an opener to a NEAFL game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they had three games in the one day. They had the AFL Women's Final first, then a NEAFL practice match, and then the Q Clash.
Oh, really?
And I think they actually lost 2,000 fans from the AFLW Grand Final to the Q Clash.
Yeah, which surprises nobody. I mean, it's kind of... It's almost a little bit insulting that they try and make it a standalone competition and then, well, you can curtain raise the knee.
And here's
a
final. Yeah. Well, I don't think they expected Brisbane to be good.
Yeah, but I mean, why do they have expectations full stop? Because, you know...
And no final series, and they've said, you know, next year we think we might do a final series. Yeah. And they're going to say, look, this is how the game's growing now. We're giving it a final series. I'm like, no, dickheads, it should have been there in the first place.
Exactly. It's a pretty basic structure of how you run a sport.
Play a finals.
But yeah, anyway. But back to the Tigers. It's good to see Dusty, you know, not taking a backward step, trying to put his contract off and push it up a little bit.
Without a doubt, it was a great game. It's the best game he's played.
It was a great game to watch, too. Free-flowing, but can't get too excited because Carlton are shit. So.
Well, especially Marchbank and the other GWS import. God, I've gone blank. Lockie Plowman. Got plenty of the ball down back and did really well. It looked like, you know, in 3 or 4 years' time, they're going to be a real defensive duo.
Yeah.
But goddamn, do they butcher it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And we said all night, like, Carlton just, the skills were terrible.
Yep. And I think the highlight of that was the old mates in behind us, the couple. I don't know where they're from.
When you think of a mid-40s to 50-year-old Carlton supporter, this stereotype, he was down the middle.
Exactly. of it. He's half speaking half Arabic, half English. I'm pretty sure his English was refined to bullshit, fuck, and you. He was hilarious. Like, he was generally hilarious.
And but he had his insults down. He just had them wrong. Like, he was calling his own player the maggots. I'm like, mate, that's the umpires.
Exactly.
That's how you insult umpires.
Yeah, that was hilarious. So I'm hoping I can get seated into them again because they put on a bit of a show more than what Carlton did, to be honest.
More than Carlton, They're pretty woeful. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Richmond weren't that good.
No.
Dusty was,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't care if, you know, nobody got within 10 metres of him and was allowed to run off the chain.
Yeah.
He did more than his job.
Yeah.
Would he have 30 touches and 4 goals? He could have had 6 or 7 if he wanted them.
Exactly. Gave one off to the first gamer. I've forgotten his name now, right in the goal square.
Yeah,
which is
me
a good
too.
Team
Butler.
Goal. Butler, yeah. He had a good game too.
He had a very good game.
I think it was a good confidence booster for the youngsters as well because not necessarily, I mean, you can't out and out say that they're definitely stars or they're definitely going to be something because they're playing Carlton who are shit, but that's got to put some wind in his sails.
It's a great way to make your debut.
Yeah, exactly. I think Dernie sort of let down for the Tigers with Taylor Hunt doing fuck all.
We're not playing tomorrow night. Are they Tigers playing tomorrow night? Yeah, tomorrow night against Collingwood. Tomorrow night being Thursday night.
Yeah,
so Hunt's been dropped.
Yeah.
And Lloyd got dropped, which I was surprised. Really? Yeah. But speaking of making your debut, I thought Toby Nankervis was fantastic in the ruck on the night. And it was good actually all weekend with the new ruck rules. Never mind the few hiccups with the free kicks, but the actual rucking seemed to be better and ruckmen were more important all weekend.
Definitely.
You'd expect.
Yeah. And even Cruz on the other end, he did some handy things down forward as well. Took some strong marks.
Him and Wiedering.
Yeah.
Were the best forwards on the night.
Definitely, definitely. And Gibbs fought hard as well. He put in 100% effort, which I mean you always expect out of him. And young Jason Castagna got 20 disposals.
Georgie.
Yeah, I think he scored 2.4 goals, but he got plenty of it. put up to our seniors list as well. So that's a good move there.
Upgrade from the rooks.
Yeah. Even Prestia, 28 disposals, 1 goal. So good signs, but just got to put a lid on it because,
Well, see, that's it. There were not many, but there were a few Tigers supporters getting a bit excited the next day, and I thought, you should know better.
Exactly.
Out of all club supporters, you should know.
Yep. And especially coming up against Collingwood this weekend, too.
Yeah. I mean, well, we'll go straight into Collingwood Bulldogs then. I thought Collingwood looked good.
They looked great.
They really played a great game.
Yeah, and shared it around very well. Like, it was a much more hard-fought contest than what the final score ended up being. Side bottom was handy for him as well. Kicked a couple of goals, I think.
He was really good.
Did what they needed to do. 35 possessions as well.
Yeah.
And even like Taylor Adams has been playing better and better each season since they got him from GWS. So they really find a way to fit him and Treloar and Pendlebury, who got 35 possessions or something like that, something stupid.
Yeah, Pendlebury again was best on ground easy.
Yeah.
But you had a look, like when I was watching the game, I thought Bulldogs were a little bit off.
Yeah.
But still, when it came to the crunch, they had, you know, the real class to run it with.
Well, I found that they were they spread it out very well. So someone was always playing their role. Someone was always doing what they needed to be done. Spread around a lot.
You gonna sit down?
It's team effort.
Yeah, pull up a seat.
Yeah, so Josh has rocked up fresh from some financial advice, which stop betting on long fucking odds.
I just bet on the right fucking odds.
Yeah, this is true. But going back to the Bulldogs versus the Pies, it was always a hard-fought contest, and you expected that. But I found the Bulldogs shared it around very, very well. They always had someone who was picking up the slack, if that makes sense. Yeah. Where it was very Pendlebury and Treloar focused.
Reliable, Well, I mean, the four biggest disposal winners were all Collingwood players.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you played, the time and control, that Collingwood actually won that side of the game.
Yeah,
I think they won most categories, like clearances and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, they did.
But when it came to the Bulldogs, just needed to turn it up a gear, get a couple of quick goals, and we're good. Don't worry about this.
Yeah, and just a bit inefficient as well in front of goal. Like, you know, they really need someone like a cloak or someone like that.
If only.
Yeah. But Dowhouse and Libby, their pressure on the ball was fantastic, and that was one of the big differences as well.
So, I don't know if you talked about it already, but that moment of the week would have to be Cloak's goal.
Yeah.
Where he's just, you could see, he loved that fucking moment. Just adored it.
And the fact that he missed his first one as well. gave Collingwood supporters.
Yeah.
The cameras obviously focused a lot on Joffa when it happened.
Yeah.
And you can see it, he's like, give it. And then he's kicked it and he's gone,
exactly.
What can you do?
Yeah, and I think they made a good comeback as well. I think Fasola kicked 3 in the third quarter or something like that to really put the pressure on the Bulldogs. It was not an easy win. They had to fight out to the very siren.
They did look slick though.
They were very slick.
Yeah, but only for parts though, and that's how quality they are as a team.
Yeah,
obviously. I don't think that's a hangover at all.
No.
Having said that, Collingwood weren't embarrassed.
No, yeah, exactly.
Which has really fucked up my season tipping.
Yeah.
Because I really need them to be really quite embarrassed.
Yeah, well, this tipping round was one for the optimists, I think.
I got 5. And, five's
all
that.
I got.
I got 5, and the leader of my tipping comp got 6. So
One person got 7 in our work tipping comp.
They're fucking
about
idiots.
40 or so in it.
That was the NRL supporter?
It must have been. Must have been. I don't know who it was.
Yeah, no, someone did get 7, but that's because they got all the away teams.
There you go.
Right.
That's all you need.
Yep. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the best loss that the Collingwood have ever had, but you know,
it's up there.
You don't like honourable losses, but it was a good game. They played well. They showed that they're not going to be rolling over.
You can see just what they needed to fix up, which is a few little mistakes here and there and a few little tweaks. It's not a major turnaround.
I'd be more than happy to stick the boot in, but they did pretty well.
Yeah, they did.
I'm hoping we get a chance to stick the boot in at least once this season. Well, because
I'll generate one if I have to.
Things are looking disappointingly really good for Collingwood.
If they don't show up against the Tigers this week, we'll have a good 15-minute lay into them next week.
Absolutely.
You're mixed already, the shit out of Eddie.
I've seen the post, but I haven't actually listened to it yet.
It's exactly that sort of... He's always been that way, but you just needle him that tiny bit and he goes off. You can't treat it as a business, which I like about that.
And don't kid yourself either that Ed's not playing it up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's his show. He's on radio.
Well, I think that's... it's like the personality, he just turns it up one more notch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's his job.
But I think if you met him in the street and gave him shit about Collingwood, he'd give you shit back.
No, you just pay somebody to thump you, I reckon. At the end of it, you'll never be found again. We'll move on to the Saturday. St Kilda versus Melbourne, which is, again, we flagged it in the preseason primers. A great matchup to see where the two teams are at.
Yeah.
I think we got our answer, is that Melbourne's well ahead of where I thought they were.
Yeah. Melbourne were at, I think, $2.50, which I thought was way over. So I had a crack at that.
Yeah.
But
that's probably for the record, wasn't it? Eddie had
they haven't beat St Kilda at Eddie had since Eddie had was around, I think, pretty much. But they looked the business.
Once they got going, there was just no stopping them. Well, they kicked 10 in a row, 11 in a row at one stage?
Something like that.
Smashed them.
Winners on every line.
Yeah. And Jordan Lewis just the ability he adds in that midfield to free up everyone else.
Like I said, in the Melbourne primer, he is more valuable to Melbourne than he is to Hawthorn.
Yeah, he increased his efficiency and his popularity dramatically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the Saints have struggled to play a whole game again, which is a bit of concern. You think they would have tightened that up?
Over the offseason, yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd expect that Gorn would dominate in the ruck, but I really thought that...
54-19.
Yeah. I thought Saints would put up a better show than that. But
in our preseason, I tipped Hickey to have a breakout year. He got schooled.
Yeah. I mean, he came up against the reigning All-Australian.
Exactly.
And he got beaten, which you'd expect. But I didn't think he'd get flogged.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be sort of that much of a beating. But, I mean, the clearances were 44-31. Inside 50s were 55-43. Yeah. Kind of makes it difficult to really get a rebound and bounce back, especially when you've got Lewis and Jones and Vince, who all think have got over 30 possessions. I'm just pumping them.
Yeah.
The thing is, too, Melbourne had more turnovers and less free kicks. So there's no blame game Saints can say.
I don't think anybody's
got beat.
Yeah. And it was in the fourth quarter when Rui went down and everyone, the immediate reaction, including Riewoldt himself, was, that's it, he's done.
God damn it.
So that was just really the kicking him while they were down. Turns out, 24 hours later, things are all right. He's going to be back in a month or so. But
best possible solution, though. Like, if you see a player go down like that, treat it bad. Because he's had a few injuries here and there. So I'm glad that they treated it as if it was terminal and then found out not as bad as we thought.
Rather than
say, oh, he could probably play out the game.
I think he actually said the next day he's a little bit embarrassed. He thought he overdid it. And I thought, mate, no, it's fair enough. We all thought the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially when Doc Larkins said he's usually the one that overdoes it. So
according to Doc Larkins, he's 6 feet under now.
Yeah. What about Clayton Oliver, the young fella?
He playing well?
Looking the goods?
Racked up like 36 possessions.
Clearance work was his main one for the day.
Yeah, exactly. And it was really hard for the Saints to turn it around after that. I think Jack Steele was one of the standouts for the Saints. It was a good pickup. But apart from that, it seems they're probably a season behind Melbourne in regards to development.
Yeah, and Melbourne looked well-oiled.
Yep.
I haven't checked the draw yet to see their lineup against next week, but I think now, finals would have been their pass mark.
Yep.
Now I think they want to secure finals with games in hand.
Oh, next week they've got Carlton with the G.
Jesus Christ.
If you're a Carlton supporter turning up to that, you're optimistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they'll need to set themselves a benchmark in, Richmond
percentage
scored.
Mark.
Yeah.
Richmond scored 130 against Carlton.
Whose home game is it?
The G. It's Melbourne.
Melbourne.
It has to be Melbourne, yeah.
Should get behind old mate again. Our fellas were talking about before. Remember, sit behind us in the Richmond game?
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious. That's the only thing that will make that game worthwhile watching if you're a Carlton supporter.
If we can find where old mate, the Carlton supporter, is,
yeah,
and if he's still going and sit directly in front of him,
we'll be footy buddies.
I'll be happy with that. Kick it, you maggot.
Kick it, fucking maggot.
I'm going to say the upset of the round. Port Adelaide put on a clinic.
Upset
Sydney.
Me.
I could not believe it. If I was going to put a bet on, I put on a bet that Sydney were the top scoring side for the weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did not pick Port Adelaide, not only beating them comfortably at the SCG and putting on 110 points. And
beating them in the middle too.
And Robbie Gray having a quiet day.
Yeah, he did not dominate.
Yeah.
But
he was not even the top 10 players.
He got knocked unconscious, I think, as well.
There is that.
Copped a little knock.
Yeah.
But they beat them. Yeah, you're right. They beat them in centre clearances.
Yeah, exactly. And allowed Wingard to think three up forward.
Yeah.
And you can't allow him to just get free like that. And you think Sydney, usually they're better than that. But, it makes it really hard for opposition team when you can't get hands on the ball first, especially with a midfield like Sydney's. And Rampy going down obviously didn't help, but they were losing before that anyway. So
yeah,
it doesn't make a huge difference.
The funny part is Sydney had more possession, they had more efficiency, and more inside 50s.
Yeah.
But yet still came up short because quality, like a lot of that is, you know, hip pocket handballs.
Well, part of that too is Port Adelaide kicking goals from outside 50.
This is true.
You don't worry about the inside 50s when you got a first gamer kicking them from 55 and clearing the fucking fence.
And sharing them around too. I think they had 10 different goal scorers and 5 of them in multiple goal scores. Yeah. So,
but you're right though, with Sydney, the possessions, just, little handball around the back trying to get somebody open.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you do those because all your options are taken.
Yep.
And that's what Port Adelaide were doing. They were hassling them and covering the outlets so well.
Yep. And, I mean, Buddy still kicked these 4 goals, which is probably your standard for him.
Yeah.
But no one else seems to really pick up the slack when they needed it.
Well, like we said, you got your other ones there. You know, Tippett's meant to be the best ruck forward in the competition.
Yeah.
He's getting blanketed.
No, maybe they shouldn't have got rid of old Tom Mitchell. Yeah. could have used him in the middle. Could have
used another middle. It absolutely surprised me, this one.
Yeah.
And even still, I thought that one of the weaknesses of Sydney is key backman.
Yeah.
But they've got around that with a backline system.
Yeah.
But Dixon was good without dominating.
Exactly.
So that wasn't the reason again. They were just, you know, their strength is their midfield and they got killed in the midfield.
Yeah.
What I liked too is the game was up for grabs still. Like, they went into halftime, I think it was about even or maybe a couple points down, and managed to just hold off and keep fighting, make it tough.
Yeah.
Make it tough for Sydney to score, make it tough for them to do anything.
Exactly, yeah. The pressure was crazy and...
but they didn't blow them away and then hold.
No, it was
a struggle the whole way through.
Port were only just up less than a goal at half time and then put on 8-4 in the second half.
I think it started drizzling in the third as well or something like that.
A little bit of rain there, which actually has been a weakness of Sydney in the last couple of years. Yeah. It used to be, you know, when it rains, Sydney, don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But for some reason, they've struggled in the wet recently.
First game, Powell Pepper. He had a great one.
He got the Rising Star nod.
Yep. Yeah, deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look like a first gamer.
No. He's on my... on my super coach team, so I'm fucking stoked with that.
You know what old Brett Eddie did?
Did okay.
Did some things.
He did look a little bit nervous and a little, I don't want to say slow, but it was his first game. And even though he's 26, 27, so he's a maturer, but still looked like he needed to get into the groove.
He got 3 touches.
Yeah.
Of AFL footy.
Yeah, I think... Jackson Trango's got to be stoked that Paddy Ryder's back in the team.
Yeah.
Took a lot of pressure off him.
Doesn't that?
And it made a huge difference.
And Paddy did all right, too. He does look a little bit slower than I remember. But then again, it's been, you know, over 12 months since we've seen him.
He was never rapid.
Yeah, but he was agile.
He was mobile definitely. For a big man.
For a big man, he's tall and skinny, but he didn't look as tall and skinny.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
A few KFCs in the off-season.
Could have been. Yeah. Could have been. But yeah, it's certainly a shock to me, that one.
And it just makes the season even more interesting because I thought last season
does.
Last season was a cracker, and this one's just shaped up to be even better.
Yep.
And I think that shows with the attendance record of the first round. We had over 400,000 people go watch a footy, which is just incredible.
Well,
biggest of all time, I believe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I knocked up 2. I said it last year, but I'll try again this year to keep a tally of how many games I actually attend.
Yeah, I saved my ticket, put it in the drawer. I've got my little ticket drawer there, so we'll see how that goes.
Should have a ticket wall.
I'm up to 2. Mm. On to Saturday night. We've already said about the lead up to the game. So that was, I thought, fantastic by Essendon. Came out of the blocks absolutely flying.
Yeah, it was like, what did they kick?
They kicked the first three in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
something crazy with that. Hawthorne barely touched the ball.
Yeah.
I remember one play seeing, I think it was Hartung. He's got a bit of toe about him.
This is late in the third.
Yeah, he's running and Danaher ran him down.
Yeah, he couldn't get away from Danaher.
Yeah.
Actually, it happened a couple of times in the night. So I don't know if it was a heavy track or what do they call it, a dead four or something.
I dare say a lot of those Essendon players just playing beyond themselves for that game. Just, you get the blood in the water of facing a team like Hawthorn that's had success over the period versus Essendon that's had the absolute opposite direction of success over that period. And they've just gone, this is our night. This is our grand final. This is where it's all worthwhile.
Yep.
And they're not thinking next week. They're
can't wait till the wheels fall off.
and look, they probably will, let's be honest.
With the rundowns, there was one, Burgoyne caught McDonald, Tip and Woody. And I never thought that had happened.
Holy shit.
And there was Collier couldn't get away from Frawley. And then Hartung couldn't get away from Danaher. Which is really disappointing for Hartung because this is his year. He needs to stamp himself.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right. It was emotion, I believe, that got Essendon over the line and speed. They were too quick through the midfield.
Yeah,
but it was their grand final. Like they're not thinking of.
They've been building. I don't want to play next week. Time.
I want to be good for next week. They're just thinking, no, I need to play well now.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And this, not just this game, this quarter.
I thought Zach Merrill was a standout with 37 possessions, and I couldn't believe he's only 21 years old too.
Yeah. Holy shit! He's legitimately putting his hand up for superstar status.
Oh, definitely, he's putting him. Yeah, we'll keep that form up. Well, I think he played good last season too.
He had a very good last season.
Keep that up. Even Tom Mitchell had 37 disposals as well, which is handy, but still not making up for Sam and Lewis coming out as well. But the whole match, there's only one player that had under single digit disposals.
Really?
Yeah, that was Cyril.
Yeah.
He got a corked thigh or something. So,
yeah, he hurt himself early on. He wasn't his usual damaging self.
Yeah, so everyone shared around. Everyone got plenty of it, which is good.
That is unusual. I don't know if how many times that's happened. There's only been one player with, single-digit disposal.
Yep.
Yeah, Dyson was best on ground for mine.
Honestly, I've kind of been on the fence with him for a little while, but he got an absolute blinder. He was doing everything. He was in and under. He was on the outside. He was making quality decisions, quality possession.
First game as captain too, and certainly looked like the role suits him.
Yeah, Fantasia's grown into his role as well. He had another great game.
Absolute goal scene. When he kicked four?
Yeah, I about that.
And, they weren't easy shots either. They were, turn around the corners and one grab snaps from the goal square. Even though it's from the goal square, it's still what you need to do.
And, it was also, on Hawthorn side of things, good to see Jared Ruffhead back in the regular season. I know he played a couple of JLT games, but
standing ovation when he kicked that goal.
And look, some moments are bigger than the sport, and that's one of them for me.
There were a few of them this round, actually. It was a nice little happy round. Bit of love shared about.
Yeah. Except for Travis Cloak, but
the whole league loved that, except for Collingwood. Let's be honest.
This is true.
But, I mean, you can't expect to kick 19 points and win a game, though. That's the sort of glaring, obvious flaw that were in Hawthorn's strategy.
Well, a bit like Friday night, I felt like Hawthorn controlled the ball more, but when they did, it was a real grind to get the ball forward because they were covered so well.
Yep.
Whereas when they turned the ball over, especially in the back 50, Essendon just moved it and cut through the zone like butter. And at the game, watching it, McDonald, Tip and Woody didn't get used as much as he could have. He had a great game, but goddamn, he was open so often.
Yeah,
he's running to space, like watching the telecast. Fantastic! Like he was able to read. All right, these guys are going to run over here. I'm going to run in this space. We'll develop.
It's confidence in your team too. The knowing I can go now.
Yeah.
Because essentially he must be leaving his man, or he's running into a different zone. He could have been used so much more. He was open that often. Always looked like he had space and time. And when he got the ball, he used it quite well. But he should have got it more.
Well, two key stats for mine. Marks, Essendon had 135 to 82. That's total marks.
Yeah.
Inside 50, 16 and 9, and then tackles, 65 to 48. So they beat them in marks and tackles.
Yeah, I think they smashed them uncontested possessions as well.
Yeah.
They looked after the ball. 288 to 227. So, and contested was pretty close, 144 to 142.
Yeah, right.
But just being able to get that amount of marks means they've had such clean hands in delivery, because you drop a mark and all of a sudden that player's under pressure.
Yeah.
If you can take it and, stick it, all of a sudden it's much easier. You've got time to set up. Things are going well. breeze in your hair, love and life.
It did feel like the Hawthorn goals they had to work hard for, whereas the Essendon goals was just, it flowed.
And how well did Essendon use the middle? I don't fucking know when this not using the corridor thing came in, but straight up the corridor, move it damn quickly.
Right. If the option's there, you fucking use it, don't you? And that's what
they did very well. Some other teams, and North is one of the major ones, seem to just love the fucking boundary line. Like, just the left-hand boundary line, stick on there, love and life. But it doesn't work all the time.
There was a few contentious umpiring decisions, but I felt like the game was...
Yeah, Hawthorn got a couple of easy kicks, I thought.
I thought that the game was umpired consistently. It just so happened that Hawthorn was in the position to get the free kick more times that didn't. But I'm glad that it has pointed out the third man up rule and nominating your ruckman.
Yeah.
Because there was that one that's been highlighted, and I like that the golden whistle or whatever it's called, AFL program where they go through the contentious decisions. Ty Vickery's nominated himself for a ruck, but he's 25 metres away from the contest. Billy Hartung's put his hand up to signal to a teammate, and the umpire's gone, yep, he's nominated. The shortest man in the league, just about. They're going, yep. I don't get why we need to nominate a ruckman.
Yeah.
Like, okay, there's no third man up. Well, why don't you just, if more than one person goes up, that's a free kick?
Yeah, exactly right. Because
we've had a rule for...
I think it's for the other bloke, though. Like, if I'm next to you...
It's a shit.
Well, if I'm next to you and you think I'm the ruckman, but a third bloke jumps over you...
Well, then I'm shepherding you, and that's a free kick. You can't shepherd the ruckman.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not the ruckman and I shepherd you... Yeah.
No, but you are the ruckman.
All right.
And I'm not the ruckman.
Yep.
My teammate jumps over the top of you, but you're looking at me like I'm about to jump for the ball.
Yeah.
But I'm not. But I'm just shoulder to shoulder with you.
That's fine. I have no problem with that.
Also a third man up, technically.
If that person doesn't engage the ruckman, if he does engage the ruckman, then it's a free kick.
Yeah. But if I'm just standing beside you...
Yeah, that's fine.
You engage me, technically it's third man up and...
But we've had a rule that you can't shepherd the ruckman for... centuries.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it's an exaggeration. But anyway, but you never had to nominate who the ruckman was in order to be shepherded, because the two big blokes in the middle, everyone's fair enough, it's that ugly bastard.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, if you can't tell who the person you're rucking against is, then, I mean, you just got bamboozled, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it also makes it not cut and dry, because then you've got either...
Well, it's not cut and dry now.
Well, it is when you nominate the ruckman.
Yeah, well, what
you
if...
Know who the ruckman is.
What if the ruckman...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ruckman nominates. He's 25 metres away from the contest.
And that's Ty Vickery. He's an idiot.
Since where
you deserve it because you picked him up. You knew he was an idiot. We got him. He's still an idiot.
But
now.
He didn't make the mistake. The fucking umpire did.
But since when?
But it's fair enough to assume that
whenever Vickery's involved, he's at least half liable for a mistake.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, I think we should never be aiming for rules in our game that aren't completely ambiguous. Kind of against the code of the sport.
Yeah, exactly. You're never really going to hear many blokes go, oh, I wasn't quite sure about that rule, but now that you've explained it to me, well, I think that might have been
nothing
right.
Nothing to yell out.
Half the time, though, I love it when there's the whistle's been blown and all the players look around and goes, what?
Yep. Like, exactly.
They're all happen a lot.
Professional athletes, and none of them have an idea.
It's even better when two of the umpires are like, free kick this way, no, this way. No, this happened first. You see the umpires just starting to have a little alpha male moment.
Have a vote.
Fuck it, I'll throw it up.
But no, I did hear, you know, actually, the old man who we went to the game with said, God, if there's any supporters that really get arrogant when they're winning, it's Essendon ones.
Yeah.
And we're like, you know what? They can have this one. they fair enough. You've been through the ringer. And the fans haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
You're allowed to go a little bit over the top on this one.
Oh, that's
true. We'll let that slide.
Yeah.
But we'll pump you next time. Don't worry about that.
Yep. And yeah, like I said, just can't wait till the wheels fall off because you will not be safe.
Contentious, though. I did see Worsfold came out in the week saying he wanted to get Hurd back at the club.
Yeah.
Like, mate, it took North 10 years to get Kerry back. I think this is a little too soon.
Hey, what's his name? Bartlett. How long did he leave before he came back to Richmond?
25 years?
Yeah, probably maybe more than that, I think. He only came back a couple of years ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he said he regretted it, but he's got his statue at the front now. So
I can see Hurd coming back.
Yeah, it's going to be at least one more year till Ben Cousins gets back to West Coast.
Yeah.
Well, he might meet a few of his teammates.
Yep.
But anyways. On to the Q Clash, which turned out into
game of the
a
round.
Good game. Yeah, just about, wasn't it?
Like, in terms of nail-biting finish,
yeah,
it was pretty. It was much better than it deserved to be. Like, yeah. I thought this would be a... I'm not even going to bother kind of thing.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a shit show.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch much of it because I was at the Hawthorn-Essendon game. But when we were at the game, we saw the scores come up on the scoreboard. There was one part there where my old man said it's 5-3 to nothing. I thought, all right, five goals to three goals.
Yeah.
Went, no, 5-3. Oh, shit. Brisbane are kicked away.
Yeah.
They absolutely blitzed them at the start.
Yeah, well, in the first half, Brisbane outscored them 69-23. In the second half, it was the other way around, where Gold Coast outscored them 73-29. So it's a game of two halves of footy. I think each team played a half of football, and together we got one game of football.
Yeah, and it was a decent game. I was lucky enough to get home.
Yeah, it was good to watch.
And watch the last 10 minutes.
It had just under 13,000 people there, which for two teams who were expecting to finish on the bottom in a state that hasn't really embraced the code yet, it's not a bad turnout.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, but still, I mean, this is their marquee grudge match for the year.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know... Like,
yeah, but it was one of the weekends where Brisbane had pretty shit weather. I mean, they're going through a cyclone now.
Yeah, I guess so. But, yeah. I mean, they what's really disappointing is they had 15,000 a couple of hours earlier for the women's game.
Oh, did they?
So they couldn't hang on to them.
Jesus.
which is fair enough, because I would have gone if there was a kneeful practice match on in between. Yeah. Which is just stupid, but we've talked enough about
that. It's the Aaron Phillips factor.
So, I mean, I didn't know how many wins Brisbane will get this year, and I think it's going to be still under five, but that's a great start to their season.
Yeah, exactly.
And to be honest, JLT series, they look good, and they carried it through.
Well, like we've said, they've got talent in the team. It's just a matter of fleshing out that structure, that bone.
Keeping the talent on the park.
Yeah, exactly.
What surprised me was young Bastanac.
Yeah.
Had a good little match. He got
forward.
Some posies and three goals, rather.
Pushed forward, too.
Yeah, did very well.
Yeah, the bastard. I think I had him on chopping block, too.
I think we all did.
I think he deserved to be. So, look, I'm happy to be proven wrong in that case. He's not a bad little player.
He's done all right. And I think with on the other side of the coin, this is really bad for Gold Coast because they got a tough run coming.
Yeah.
And I think, especially after Collingwood have had a good game.
Yeah.
Richmond have had a win. Let's not call it a good game. They've had a win.
Mm.
So when it comes to coaches under the firing line, Rockett's...
he's in trouble.
He's in front and centre.
And even he said he didn't know how that they got such a poor start out of the blocks, which is true. I mean, I don't know whether wrong, but Abbott was still trying. He laid some tackles.
But he was trying. He's not dominating.
Exactly, yeah.
And he should dominate against Brisbane.
Even Jared Witts, the ruckman, still put his arms out, get a few tackles and tried to stop the flow that was sort of killing them. But just not enough people that stood up. Took Miller played all right. We tutored him as hopefully being the next talent on that team, and he's showing that he's got the potential to do that.
I mean, Tom Lynch was still a good target up forward.
Yeah.
And kicked three goals, but especially against that Brisbane defence, he should be, he should be getting 25 touches and kicking a handful.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that'll be shown again when Brisbane play the next teams, and the back line is going to be proven to be a little bit wanting.
Yep. But no, I thought it was an even effort from Brisbane.
Yeah.
It's good to see, first game coach for Fagan as well, so he's got his win under the belt.
Yeah, exactly.
Stephen Martin wasn't as dominant as I thought he would be, though.
No, I mean, he's playing against athletic ruckman in Gold Coast.
Well, Witts had him in hitouts, and not quite as many around the ground possessions, but Witts had a lot more tackles. Like, he was able to shut down the Rovers. His athleticism was able to catch them.
Yeah, going into it, you would have thought he would have smashed Witts.
I would have thought so. But Martin, he didn't have a great last year.
No, it was in this game too where he got knocked out, that horrific knockout.
Yeah,
and, that can hang around for you.
A bit of a ghosty,
But he's had long enough now to recover that you can't use physically that recover. Excuse anyway.
Look, I hope he comes back to where he was because he was all Australian contention in 15.
And he's a big unit.
He is a big lad.
On to the Sunday games then. North Melbourne versus West Coast went the way you probably expected, but North put up a better show than some would have thought.
Well, it went exactly the way I feared. I mean, you're always hoping for a win.
Yeah.
But when North had, I think the stat was only 4 of their best 22 out of full preseason. That happens, and then you get run over in the third and fourth quarter, you're going to say, well, that's kind of where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, going with more rookies in one game than they did in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are excuses, but it's going to be this sort of pain for the next probably 6-7 rounds.
End of the day, though, an 8-goal loss at home to the Eagles,
yep.
You think, oh, that doesn't look good on paper, but really you go, you know what?
About where they're at.
They showed endeavour.
Yeah.
And look, if Jared Waite kicks straight,
yeah,
1-7,
yep. Fuck.
It's not bad.
To the other end of Kennedy kicking 7-0.
Yeah. And Kennedy could have kicked 10 if he wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
He gave away handballs in the goal square.
Yeah, yeah.
They cantered in and only gave enough effort they were required to.
Yeah, only 38 possessions for Mitchell. Yeah, pretty disappointing that one.
Fucking hell. Well, this is the game, and again, it's going back to Tom Mitchell at Hawthorn. The main difference between the two of them, because Sammy had 38, Tom had 37 touches.
Yeah.
But the thing is with Sam is when he gets the ball, he stops and props, and you have to stand off him because he can go either way.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Mitchell does not have a right foot.
Yeah, exactly.
And there was plenty of times on at the Saturday night game where he'd get the ball, and if he looked, he had a little dinky 25-meter pass on his right foot, but he has to wheel around on his left, missed it.
Yeah.
With Sam, I mean, he just gets the ball, and you can see it all day.
Yeah, exactly.
And half the time, like, I think he had 2-1 when it comes to handballs to kicks.
Yep.
But his handballs are usually 20-meter handballs.
Yeah,
and again, either hand. And that's one thing that I'm, and we've said before, constantly amazed by, is that how many players, playmakers no less, have one foot or one hand.
Especially left-leggers.
Yep.
Left-leggers are the worst for it. So I'm going to pot left-leggers all season, yeah?
Yep.
Keep an eye on that.
But
cacks.
One thing that I did notice watching the game was a glaring hole for North was they dominated the ruck. Prius and Goldstein.
Goldstein had a cracker.
Had a, you know, Goldstein was the ruckman of the match. Prius
32 hitouts and 3 goals.
Yeah, yeah. Prius had, I think, 19 hitouts and got on the scoreboard.
You don't think it was Petrie, ruckman of the match?
In terms of heart, fuck me. You get a broken hand, he's like, nope, just strap that motherfucker up and go on out.
He knows he hasn't got many left.
Yeah, but he showed so much heart there, so good on him. I'm glad the North supporters applauded him when he got his goal. That's what you want to see. But what I was going to say, the hole that North have is they're in and under players. Good. Like, Zeebel, Swallow had some good in and under work. Cunnington, rucking great, but there's no outside run. Like there's no Wells, Harvey, Del Santo to get the ball to outside. Attlee tried, and he spuddled it up so fucking often.
Yeah, I think Zeebel's the only one that really sort of put his hand up there. Thomas went missing. Don't even know if he rocked up to the game.
Well, I was hoping he'd have a better year, but end of the day, he's coming up against like a class outfit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
look at
I had Eagles finishing top two this year.
You can't remember where I had them.
But well, we all had them in the top four, I'm pretty certain. So for him to develop into a midfielder, and he needs to play up the ground more.
Yeah.
It's very hard when you're going against, well, literally two Brownlow medalists.
Exactly. Mm. Plus Gaff there as well, who's just been killing it.
Like Chewy.
Continuing his form from last year. Grah kicks 3 goals in a space of 10 minutes or something like that in a quarter, which doesn't help.
But Eagles had twice as many marks as North, which is also a telling stat. And twice as many contested marks as well.
They had endeavour, North, and that's all you can ask for. And end of the day, they kicked 93 points.
Yeah,
that wins you most games.
It's a big score, and I mean, the only team that didn't win, only team that won by scoring under 100 was Brisbane, and that's like a pretty shit team. But I think the highlight of this has got to be Kane Turner's little write-up bio in the footy record.
Yeah, the stitch-up.
Yeah, the old bait and switch, wasn't it? Yeah, the boys filled out for him.
Who are your idols? You know, the Teletubbies.
Yep, yeah.
Favourite player was Relton Roberts.
Yep. Favourite player to watch is Zach Dawson.
Of course it is.
So, yeah, someone's had a good old stitch-up there. I'd normally blame Brent Harvey, and he's still around the club, still so I'm going to be him.
Yep.
But the fact that he said player he idolised most growing up was Paul Ahern sort of tells me who might have had a bit of a hand in that one.
Yep.
Good on him with his new club.
Yeah.
On to probably the second biggest upset for the round was Adelaide Crows putting on a clinic and beating the Giants by 10 goals.
Yeah. Down the captain too. It was a late withdrawal.
Yeah. But to be honest, though, it doesn't affect their makeup that much.
Exactly.
I think.
Yep.
But once the Crows get going at home and the crowd just carries them through,
yeah,
they were never letting up.
Oh, yeah. And they do. Like the Adelaide Oval has become just such an advantage for the Crows.
Yeah, an absolute fortress.
It's a four-goal Eddie Betts advantage.
Yeah, well, they scored just under 100 points in the last half alone, which is just ridiculous. I mean, that's just really putting your foot on the throat.
Yeah. I thought that Jeremy Cameron, his absolute freak ability, made GWS look respectable.
Yeah.
And there were times where, you know, their play was really slick,
yeah,
running through the middle, but it's just consistent, constant pressure from Adelaide.
Yeah.
Never let them breathe.
And had a lot of pace about the Adelaide team as well. I mean, they were very free-flowing and scoring goals at the back and sort of always, everyone thought, real drill it looked like. Everyone knew where they had to be, what their strategy was, and they executed it to a T.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
And Jake Kelly put his hand up for Sledge of the Year. You know that?
Yeah, I thought it's almost the anti-Sledge, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, he had a go at Stevie J, and Jake Kelly is the son of
Craig.
Craig Kelly, that's it.
Ned Kelly.
No, Ned's his nickname.
Yeah, well.
Or Cementhead.
Has to be.
Who is the manager for Stevie J. So he said, ease up, you've been paying for my business class tickets to
Europe
for the last 6 years. Yeah. Which I thought, hang on, isn't that good for Stevie J? Like, I could imagine that Stevie J would go, shut up, young lad, I've been paying for your... Like, that would make more sense to me that way. But anyway,
whatever. Well, you have a crack at something, don't you?
Whatever floats your boat. He's happy.
Yep.
Comes from a, you know, rich background. Good on him.
Can't.
I would have said something about, like, you know, shouldn't you be a father-son pick, or they didn't want you? Anyway.
Just like your mum.
Having said that, Stevie J, I thought, was a bit quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
When he first came back and looked a little bit slow.
He did. Starting to show that, yeah. But on the other side, Eddie Betts, holy shit.
Didn't he? Well, he does.
What else needs to do?
Yeah. Did what he does. Went for a couple of flies and... Yeah. I haven't seen him take a screamer, but Jesus Christ.
He comes close, isn't he?
He gave it a go.
He's certainly not lack of effort.
No.
And I was looking at the sort of everyone getting up in arms, not up in arms, but everyone going on about Phil Davis making sure he's all right. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Almost spiked him on his head. And originally I was thinking, well, I mean, what sort of cunt wouldn't go and make sure he's all right? But then I thought, they've been focusing on so much negative bullshit from the AFL media for so long that it's kind of good that they started focusing on some positive things.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Like,
so I was thinking, I'm just going to stop being such a cunt myself.
Goes back to it was a happy round.
Yeah, exactly. Even Charlie Cameron, he told the goal fucking umpire. Told umpire.
No, mate, touched.
Yeah, touched it, yeah. Yeah. Single goal. So yeah, I thought it was a nice little feel-good round for the fans for long all games.
22 goals. I mean, they had plenty to spare.
No, this is true. Yeah, so, and puts them right away, right up the top of the ladder too. So that percentage is always going to help.
And when it comes tight at the end of the year, they'll appreciate those ones.
Yep.
Yeah, I tipped Adelaide to do pretty damn well, so I'm feeling fairly confident now.
Yeah, I didn't tip them to do better than GWS though.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I didn't think Rory Laird would be getting 40 possessions against GWS.
No,
that's crazy.
Who said he was overrated?
You can go back to last year though. GWS lost to Melbourne in the opening round.
Yeah, true.
And still finished top four. So I'm sure that they've been reminded of that fact by their staff this week. So don't expect that they'll fall off the perch.
No.
Into the final game, 7 o'clock on a Sunday night. God knows why. Geelong did enough to get over at Frio. Good to see a little bit of spite though. Out there, so they haven't forgotten the old rivalries.
Well, yeah,
seem like there was spite there, but it seemed like Geelong were kind of just, you know, putting in the spite to have it. They didn't seem like they were really like, oh, we're fucking killing you guys. It was like, lads, we can finish this anytime you like.
Yeah.
Do you really? No, you still want to be dickheads? All right, well, we're going to keep cracking.
A bit like holding the little fella back by his forehead when he's trying to punch it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, I mean, it's pretty, end up being the most one-sided affair. There wasn't much they could do about Selwood and Dangerfield. They're pretty much unstoppable.
Yeah, it didn't eventuate into the one-on-one, you know, match-up that they had in Adelaide a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And Sanderland's return was okay.
Yeah.
As well. I thought that Frio showed they're better than last year, but still
they'd have to be.
Still a little way to go.
Well, especially playing at home, you expect them to be able to put on a better performance than that.
Do you reckon Fife left a resume?
At Geelong? No.
Well, he's leaving them all around the place, I reckon.
Geelong's the one place that they won't... Fife's got no chance at.
If he did go there... Fuck, I mean, even Sydney would be like, hang on, that's a bit fucking out of order.
And then they sign Ablett on minimum.
Yeah.
Like, so imagine midfield with Dangerfield, Fife, Selwood, Ablett. You've got to throw, like, they've got to get Zach Dawson just to even shit up, don't they?
He'll be their ruckman. It still wouldn't matter.
And we'd all love to see it too. It'd be fucking hilarious.
But yeah, I think, to be honest, it was 42 points to the Cats, but it was just, it was one of those games where the result was known, like, I think, in the second quarter.
Really. Exactly, yeah.
And they just went through the motions to get there. They
definitely took their foot off the pedal in the last quarter, came home in a canter.
And yet, Freo had more inside 50s.
Yeah.
Which just shows you the stats don't tell the full story.
Exactly.
Everything.
You've got to watch the game.
Yeah.
I think that was Nat Fyfe just running in and out of the 50 metres about 20 times.
So that wraps it up for the exciting round one that it was. So let's have a look at round two and what's coming up. So Thursday night, we got Collingwood and Richmond in Richmond's first home game. So they're trying to drum up that.
Yep.
Anyone game enough to tip the Tigers?
I'm on it.
Third on the ladder.
Tigers will kill them.
Here we are. Get on the train. We'll put one through them.
So it's going to be an interesting midfield battle. Like we
it's
said,
it's going to be amazing, yeah.
Pendlebury, Sidebottom, Treloar, and Taylor Adams last week dominated.
Yeah.
I just want to see what happens if the game's a little close at the end. If Cochin's willing to sledge this time, he's willing to drop one in.
I think he's learnt.
I hope.
But if he hasn't, do you think he's going to wait until there's like 3 seconds to go and be like, all right, we're fucking home. It's all you dickhead. I fucking...
No, he wouldn't use language like that. Not Cochin.
No.
He'd be like, Brownlow medalist. Up your nose with a rubber hose. That'd be his insults.
But I think the...
Your hair is shit. Ha ha! Gotcha.
I mean, the only real flaw in that Collingwood squad is the back line, so that's all you can really hope from a Tigers perspective is trying to exploit that.
Well, Jackie Boy was quiet last week.
Yeah, but didn't need him to be too far in, to be honest. So. Yeah.
I thought Sam Lloyd getting dropped.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Yeah. So I think he might have... swayed from the team rules during the game.
Right, yeah.
Which was interesting. Ben Lennon comes in for him.
Which
I rate Lennon.
Yeah, he's showed some flashes as well, so it's not the worst thing to happen.
And got rid of Taylor Hunt as well. He's dropped out.
Overdue, I reckon. Yeah, yeah. I think probably superfluous what we need at the moment.
I think that if Nenkerse can put up a game like he did last week, he can threaten around the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in superstar form last week. I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, and you got to make Grundy be accountable for him around the ground, and Grundy's can be a liability.
Grundy's good around the ground.
Yeah,
And he kicked the winning goal against the Tigers last year.
Yeah,
so
he did too. It's past.
That'll be another great matchup. But look, I think Collingwood have got, hate to say it, but too much class.
Yeah, but I can never tip Collingwood. They're going to fuck themselves. So.
And it would be great to see if Dusty can back up.
Yep.
Well, every week he's bumping his price up by 50 grand, I reckon.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Friday night, we got the Bulldogs for their second Friday night in a row, unveiling the flag at Etihad Stadium against the Swans.
Yep.
Swans are really in trouble if they go 0-2 with this one.
Yeah.
And they can.
Yep. Yeah. They could. Well, you got to back Bulldogs at Etihad.
Yeah.
How can you not back them?
It could be embarrassing, really.
They won last weekend in second gear, and Swans have lost... Rampy during the week. So there's another one of their pacier players.
Mm.
On form, we got the reigning premiers at their home ground celebrating against a team that just got spiked over the weekend by a lower rating. So everything says Bulldogs will win, which means they probably
which
won't.
Which means,
yeah.
But I mean, round one gives you upsets. So round two, back to reality.
Yeah, and I'm on the Bulldogs. I, as much as hope as prediction, I'm on the Bulldogs.
Well, I think Bulldogs kill you with speed, and they've just lost their fastest player in Rampy, or one of their fastest players. Yeah. I think Bulldogs might actually get a nice little
could
percentage.
Be embarrassing,
booster.
Yeah, because I think like they've got so many people that put their hand up, so many people that like they're all runners.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So and the swapping of Johannesson and what's the name forward and back was a masterstroke last week, where this had really hard to match up on them and be accountable for them because you expect Johannesson to run off that back flank like consistently. They kept them swapping around, putting him forward on the kick up wheels.
Speaking of Johannesson, he's the first of what potentially could be a few to put off contract talks till the end of the year.
No, really.
Yeah.
He's asking 700 odd, apparently.
It was funny. I thought about it more that he fits into the Bulldogs side. Like his style and his play really suits the Bulldogs style of play.
Yeah.
So I think he is more value to the Bulldogs than any other team.
Yeah.
And he fits in better there. So, look, I'd expect that. The fact that they're talking about it this early in the year and there are so many other big names out there, the big money, well, I mean, it might work in his favour, but I reckon he's going to hang around.
He's a North Smith medalist and they don't take pay cuts, but he's not a Brownlow medalist.
Yeah, I think he'd be right.
I think he'd be normal, to be honest.
And I agree. Yeah. I don't think he was best on ground, but Yeah, that's the way it goes. Can't take it away from him now.
Oh, you can't deny him asking.
Yeah. Well, it's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. Well, Joe Watson probably thought that too. Yeah. Saturday, during the day, we've got Hawthorn hosting Adelaide at the MCG.
The Bird Dance.
Ooh. Geez, how can you tip against Adelaide after last week?
Yep, it's going to be a real tough tough match, especially because Adelaide just plays so well in that space too. And they haven't been intimidated at the MCG these last few years, so they've kind of knocked that sort of stigma off them.
And with Tex coming back, they're a better side than last week, I think.
Yep. Yeah, well, it means there's another big unit you've got to look after. Yep. And, you know, Frawley's got to go to him, which means that somebody like Jenkins is going to be... trouble. Someone's got to match up on him.
Yep.
Well, who goes to Betts? Do they put Gibbs on him? Do they put Jarea on him?
Stratton usually actually plays good on Eddie Betts.
You can keep
Betts.
Him to three. He's done well.
Yeah.
I got to have a look at it, but I reckon he's kept him to maybe four goals in the last four games.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So he generally does pretty well on Eddie Betts. He might have got away from him once.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like he's tuning himself up. I think Betts is going to have a super game.
We had four last week, Betts.
I think we'll get five.
Yeah. The way Hawthorn played last week, there is no way that they could show up in this game.
Yeah, but here's the only thing that could go wrong is that it's supposed to rain on this weekend. So
is it?
That could really dampen the game plan of Adelaide. Yeah, especially like 19 and rain both Friday, Saturday. Yeah, so
I don't know. Like
I think it plays in the Hawks' hands, just be able to grind them.
I don't think this iteration of Hawthorn is as able to hold the grind without their quality bullies in Sam Mitchell and Jordan Lewis. Hodge will be back, though.
Will help them because I think it wasn't speed in the back line that hurt them as much last week.
It was
disorganisation in the middle. And I guess you kind of expect that with O'Meara playing his first game in 2 years and Tom Mitchell his first game at Hawthorn and missing those other two generals. But Hodge back, I think, does help a little bit, but god damn it. Crows just looked too good last week.
I have to go to the Crows, I think.
Yeah, I'm on the Crows too.
GWS sitting 18th on the ladder, facing the Gold Coast Suns, who are sitting 10th at their first home game for the year. I think the Giants will be embarrassed about how they played last week.
I think Gold Coast
are in trouble.
Yep.
Yeah,
they're in real trouble in this one.
I don't see any possible way the Giants lose this.
Tommy Lynch is the big hope, I think, for the Suns, but Phil Davis is the best man to guard him in the competition, I think.
Yep. I think Giants win, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Gold Coast bounce back a little bit and put on like a decent performance, but I don't think it's going to be a close contest, but they've got to change something around.
Do you think Ablett can go back to, 35 touches and dominating again?
I don't feel so.
I think it's been a couple of years since we've seen it.
For that to happen, there needs to be other midfielders who are taking taggers.
Yeah, or taking focus, that little bit of focus away.
For years now, they've just been so Ablett-centric that the other midfielders haven't taken that next step to be potential superstars.
Yeah, well, they've missed a lot of beats with their plan management and that kind of stuff.
There's been like a lot of injuries that really have not helped at all.
So GWS across the board there.
Yep.
Brisbane Lions hosting Essendon at home.
This is a tough one for me.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Who would have thought that Brisbane would go into this game even money chance?
Yeah
I mean, Essendon, I still predict they're going to have a rough season because they're a newly formed team, essentially.
Because it's hilarious.
Well, I think the emotion of Essendon is going to carry them through the first month of the season.
Yeah.
And then after that, middle of the year, they're going to find it tougher.
But how spent are they after last week? Because they pushed and pushed every ounce that they had.
Yeah, and you're just talking about post-game, aren't you?
Yeah.
They went through a few ounces. They enjoyed that.
And well, should they?
Well, it was a long preseason for him.
You'd rather have a massive win followed by a shitty loss than two shitty losses.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense.
So go with that. So celebrate like anything. Fucking enjoy your life.
This is now turning into an actually really great game. It could be an absolute ball. Because Brisbane, they defended their home ground pretty well last year, even though they didn't win that many games.
Yeah.
They still defended it well. I have to have a look at the Bureau of Meteorology as well, just to make sure it's nice and dry. But I don't know.
I'm stepping out. I'm going Brisbane. Yeah. I'm going to back Stephen Martin to have a big one, just because I've been backing him for so long. I hope
he's got to do it at some stage.
Pot committed now.
McKernan had one of his best games last week.
Didn't he, though?
Yeah.
Great game.
We've potted McKernan a bit. Mainly you, because you're a bit of a bastard.
Not for effort. Potted him for effort.
Completely. He's been almost big enough, almost fast enough, almost skillful enough for so long that to have his moments that he had in that game.
Nice goal from outside 50.
Yeah. You're just seeing the butterfly finally have a bit of a flap around.
Yep.
And I think if Brisbane are going to win, they've got to put their foot down early and make Essendon be reactive instead of letting them get loose and be free-flowing playing. And they got the talent that can do it, but it's going to be about a game plan that they've got to put together. It's going to be tough for them. But,
they've got to find answers for Heppel and Merritt.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got a couple of good midfielders. Like Beams had a great game last week.
Mm.
And Daniel Rich still didn't fire last week, but it'll be interesting if he can start to come back.
Yep. So I think I'm going to go with... I'll go with the Bombers, unfortunately.
I'll give Bombers one more week.
Yeah.
I'm on Brisbane because I reckon at home, and they may, in the very literal sense, be a gale blowing to one end. So I think they'll be able to take advantage of that.
Saturday night, also, we have West Coast hosting St Kilda. St Kilda without Rui.
Yeah.
And last year, I think we said their average losing margin away from home was 50-odd points.
Yeah.
I think that's in danger here.
Yep.
See, I want Saints to have a good season because I think they're good enough to do that. But
they've been building
last week's form, and I don't see them winning one-on-one matchups.
No, not over there either.
No, especially not over there.
And look, you need Carl to start firing. You know what I mean? And they're missing a couple of backline players as well, so it's gonna be really tough just to man up all the goal scorers from that West Coast side. It's gonna be really tough.
I mean, it is a bit better. You know, you've got on one side Rui's out, on the other side Petrie's out, so it kind of evens out.
Evens up a bit, doesn't it? They're both 300 gamers. I mean, what's the difference?
Yeah, premierships, I think.
Well,
neither of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, Pete Shooting wasn't... How long has it been around for?
No, not as long as
Harvey. That was 99.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, that's a long time ago. Shit. Yeah.
So there you go. Basically, same player.
Yep.
yeah, I think West Coast might put on... 10 goals would be minimum there.
Yep. West Coast.
At Etihad Stadium, Geelong are playing their home game at North's home ground. But I think they might be a little bit too much class there.
Well, last time we went to this, what Paddy Dangerfield get? Like 48 possessions?
Yeah, 48, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, that was fucking embarrassing.
And now you've got less experience in the midfield than that time.
Yeah,
and our taggers are still out. So, look, I think this is going to be one of those learning experience games. I do want to see a lot more from whoever comes in to replace Waite. Which it looks like it's going to be...
Magic?
It's probably Magic, or they're going to blood a new comer in Mackay. But I think with Magic at his stage of his career, you've got to put him in. Because if you're not going to put him in, you've got to throw him away. So they've signed him for the year. Play him. Give him 4 or 5 games. Say, mate, that we've got blokes coming in ready to take your spot. So if you're not going to play up, see ya.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, Dangerfield got 48 last year in this game. And they had Danger Watch last week as well. I think the only thing that stops him beating that mark is boredom. I think put him down for 30 touches and 4 goals.
And he could just knock off early, I think. Two hard weeks and just have a nap, take a rest.
We foreshadowed Melbourne hosting Carlton at the MCG.
It'll be a bloodbath.
Yeah, I think Melbourne, weather permitting, Melbourne might put on...
I don't think weather will even matter.
Yeah.
I think you're right, actually. Yeah.
Jesse.
I think wind, rain, hail, shine, I think Melbourne give a pump.
Jesse Hogan to kick half a dozen.
Yep.
And
I think Max going to be 2 goals, 3.
Cruiser might make him accountable around the ground.
Well, Cruiser's kind of handy across that half forward line and takes strong marks, and he's got a decent kick on him.
I don't think Gorn's going to be hanging back there too much.
Yeah, exactly. I think they might give each other a lot of space.
Yeah. Casbolt, I hope he gets 50% last week, which is good for him. So if he can start creeping that up towards 60, 70, it'd be a good season for him.
Yeah. Port Adelaide are hosting Fremantle, and how can you tip against Port Adelaide after last week?
How can you tip Fremantle?
No, it's going to be a pretty easy one, I think.
If Ross the Boss wasn't on a buddy contract, he'd be fucked.
Yeah, he's very lucky he signed that extension, massive extension, before they had their horrible season last year.
Before he tweaked the team.
And I've said I don't like him as a coach. I'm not saying he's not a good coach. I just don't like the way he coaches.
Yeah.
Because I think it makes for boring football.
But, yeah, no, completely agree.
If he was to leave, I wouldn't worry me at all.
But the thing is, the same thing was said about Paul Ruse. He's a boring football style, but it won a flag.
Yeah.
So I wish
he didn't.
Yeah, same. But if you're boring, but you win a flag, you're like, well, proof's in the pudding, bitches. But if you're boring and you don't, it's like, well, what the fuck good are you?
Yeah. Yep, And he's going to be remembered as one of those guys. Nobody has gone to more grand finals without a flag than him.
And he's not winning one this year.
A draw kind of helped that out. But anyway, yeah, so Port all around.
Yep.
So again, on paper, looks like a fairly, like seven out of the games, fairly easy to tip, which means I'll get two.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah, I'm glad I don't tip.
All right, that'll do us for this week. Catch you next one.
See ya.
All right, peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.